Okay, so know about the two debates on Thursday. What we will try and do is, I am quite sure that we won't be able to finish this book by tomorrow. But we will have taken it to an advanced stage. I'm hoping that what we need to do, we are now in place to actually sort out the options. Remember how we do things. We've done the deliberations without Mr. Delaney to draft something. We haven't finalized our deliberations, but as we go along, we're drafting options now, and we're trying to really check the options that we've got up there. So that when we finally vote on this legislation, we've got the options that we want to bring this vote to those options. So we'll refine and complete those options as we go. But this is the first draft, and so that is not missed too much. Whatever you miss, we'll catch up now with this to do the How is Dr. Dalton?
No, she's staying home. She's going to stay home. So you'll be back on
Thanks very much, Jay. We received this new document this morning. Really, the updated version of the one that we previously discussed in the previous. I'd just like to point out that we used to complete the software on the program to indicate the changes. I mean, this will find that you find these vertical lines in the margin. That would indicate that there's been some insertion of changes there. And you'll find these funny little balloons that will show the omission in which it's been omitted. And so that is easy to look at the document to know what it's changed. The first change worth noting is on page 3 of the document. It's in clause 2, section 1, the definitions clause, where I've just inserted two definitions that previously were dealt with in part 2. So I've just moved them from part 2 and put them in this clause because the word respondent is not only used in chapter 3, it's also used in chapter 2, it's also used in chapter 3. So can be confined to that chapter, and the same with tribunal. Tribunal is also used throughout, and I don't think there's any real, nothing terms on this.
You just move those definitions.
I just move that. Then on page 4, we're dealing with the amendment to section 2 of the existing Act, clause 4. Deals with the composition of the acting chairperson of the commission, is neither the chair or the acting chair is available. Members will remember that discussion about which members referred to in section 1.8.1.2.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3.3. table could be at the commission, and the decision was made to provide an option, which is now option two, with acting chair of the commission in the unlikely event that neither the chair of the chief or the deputy chief justice will be available to chair the commission. It will all be especially in 7.1781D or C. In other words, it will always be attached.
The question of the principle of appeal is, so I then the decision of the Supreme Court to feel that there's a higher and then if both of them are unable to, then the Deputy Chief Justice or the Deputy President of the Supreme Court. Now, see that, and but then if the Deputy
Sure, I think it is something that we should have a look at and consider.
The Chief Justice executes the Chief Justice of the Commission. if he's not available, then his alternate will also enter 16B, the chairman of the commission courses. His alternate, that is the deputy chief justice, acts as the alternate. It might be better to say it's neither the chief justice or the deputy chief justice.
Not the deputy chief justice, the president of the court of appeals.
No, what I'm saying here, look, if you look at 1787, it says if the chief justice or the president of the Supreme Court of Appeals is simply unable to serve on the commission, in other words, as a member of the commission, then the deputy chief justice or deputy president of the Supreme Court of Appeal application may be acted in his or her or as his or her alternate in the commission. So what Mr. Delaware is saying is that if the chief justice is chair, the commission is unable to be there for a while, then the deputy chief justice takes his position as the chair. That's what happens. So what we should do here, and then clearly what option two is really meaning to address is if the chief justice and the deputy chief justice, in other words, if alternate, is unavailable, then clearly there must be a hierarchy in the sense that, well, not a hierarchy, then what we say is that only judges can serve as chair. And that would be your president of the Supreme Court of Appeals or the other member of the chair. And I guess the same would apply to the I think that's much better than the hierarchy that's coming.
Jay, could I just ask you, are we going to address the issue of the composition of the JC at any stage? I don't know whether, remember we said when it comes to consideration whether the NCOP member should sit in the forum, that might be something that you might want to put in the resolution to relook at that issue. That's the reason I raised it. As we look at the possibility of a constitutional amendment to address the composition, you know, the other issue, you might want to look at that.
Why don't we say under 3.1 we list them, and then under 3.2 those not listed under 3.1 we get allowed to. The Rishi proposing speech is Minister of Justice, the existing ruling of Justice, that is the existing provision. Now it might well be all the reforms that are rearranging the document. I mean, the intention was never to even bother with it. It might.
Now, if you include the member of the committee, the under 3.1, and you don't include the opinion of the public.
No, I agree with that,
too.
I must say to you that that is a possibility that you would have an alternative president. But also, there is another possibility that when the president nominates, you may nominate somebody as that. So that's why you need to actually stipulate that. And I think it's fine. I mean, nothing stands on how you actually stand with the future. But I think there must be a certain vote that should be.
30, 35, because 8 is the new, or the MIT section 7, if you put an annual report of the commission, all we've done there is first set of change subject issues to some extent, subsection 1, subsection Parliament's written report. It added which must be tabled by the speaker provisionally, and I, together with Dr. Lowe, will be telling you that terminology to make sure that we can actually find some legislation that can speak to also tables. I think we found one example, but we will look at it in some more detail. I think what we just want to convey is that the report is not only submitted to the Parliament, something that report. Then the rest of two is just subject to basically remove the activities that they must report on from sub one and just let it be sub two.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other
So if he's going to say it's going to be tabled by somebody, it needs to be the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. However, do we know of any report that has not been tabled? You know, is this necessary? I mean, this is really bold and brave. The Montenegro thing was tabled. But it wasn't referred to the committee. That was the problem.
No, what you're trying to address is this thing. That's why I think the London's going to look and see whether this cures the problem, because it may not necessarily
be. It doesn't, and that's more than a general thing. And I don't think legislation can refer to stuff being.
You were not arguing like this the last time. You know, once a naked report came, you were not arguing like this. You're saying that the legislation is unclear.
Yeah, but I don't think it's advisable for legislation to specify which committee things would be referred to. It would be better to say this is tabled to the House for consideration or something like that. The House would then but the key thing is going to be, as long as we want to get this legislation through the NCOP, so it's maybe advisable to.
I think that's been long made. Secondly, I do think that maybe what we want to do is to look at the issue of for consideration and support for consideration.
For consideration, table to the House for consideration. Then the tabling is unnecessary because you have to be safe.
No, what do you mean with tabling?
What I'm saying is if it reads, is sent to the, this Parliament has written report for a written report to Parliament for tabling and consideration.
But the question then is who tables this? That's the other problem. I thought what you were saying is that as much as you're referring to the speaker, you must include reference to the chairperson of the NCSC.
Because I think only the deciding officer can table.
If I might ask, what's the position at the moment? Because surely, this position has been in existence for a number of years now, so this report is coming.
We don't get it.
That's an internal thing. I thought ministers submitted to the deciding officer to then table. So if you look at the ACC's announcement tabling and committee reports, that will have the committee's report. Anyway, there's maybe something that maybe the
Commission
should check to the table.
Shouldn't be the commission that submits the report, or shouldn't be the chief justice?
That could be fine with each of them.
Because usually what would happen, for example, in the Human Rights Commission, they would refer it to the Minister of Justice, and the Minister of Justice would then table. That's how it is. Because it's really only members of the executive that came to Parliament.
but just, I don't know if everything goes to a minister. I mean, the public sector will take it by rate.
But then it would
need
the salary
structure,
because nobody who's not a member of
Congress
could take it.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is, I thought, but I think I'm speculating more and
going out of the
lunch
check with Yeah, check this out more. And I think we can only find one piece of legislation.
But there's lots of, in legislation, lots of requirements and stuff being taken in Parliament,
yeah.
So it's just what does that have to say? And then remembering, obviously, with the Capital Markets Facility and Council of the National Assembly, that would only refer to the future. But the Commission could struggle to get the end of the year to see the first
Now that's one I think
we need
to do. And then I think, our goal is to the lobby, you people know what they're trying to do. We don't just want them to be submitted.
Okay, you can move then to floor 7 for the new section 7, which is all part of the very first floor 8, that's what I'm rather. On page 6, the first one that's related to the division. That's the three definitions that I've moved forward.
Just one on the
floor.
Before you continue, we have our chapter 2 on Jim, a chapter 3 and a chapter 4. That's right.
The consideration of the report is different and also happens under Part 2. So they appoint the commission under 2 and then also consider the request under 2.
Okay.
I don't think it would be wrong to refer to 3 as well.
You see, because Chapter 3 is really headed, if you look at Part 1 there, it's headed appointment of tribunal there. Because prior to that, it's only your request to appoint on the commission.
I think it's probably the best to do it to the establishment and composition of the Judicial Conduct Committee. We see that I've put option 1 down, that is the existing A, B, and C. That was for the committee at the last occasion. The composition, the chief justice, the deputy chief justice, and the chief judge, one of them is women. Option 2 is the deputy chief justice, which is the chief justice of the committee, and then 4 other judges. Option 2 is the chief justice. I don't know, maybe she says the whole solution.
I think this option 2A would be any case in response to some of the comments that they received, and particularly I'm talking about the JSC, where they raised the issue of whether they could have a chief justice to be declaring this at the same time. So that one is in response to that, but clearly D is not in response to that. Decidedly different. Now remember, if you look at 8.1 and the what they've got there is the chief justice as the chair, the rest of the members, in other words, they want 5 members. So you've got the chief justice, the deputy chief, and then 3 other judges, one of them. Hello?
again.
And in Italy. So now what they want is, what is obviously suggesting, and of course the various key comments that we've received also talk to this issue, which is it appropriate for the Chief Justice to declare himself to this committee? Now, if you were to remove, therefore, the Chief Justice as the chair, then you have the Deputy Chief Justice as the chair, and then you only have four members who are judges. And Mr. Langer is very innovative, so he says two of which must be with look, we'll look at the issue of it, because again, the deity makes the point that surely you can leave it up to us to decide from position. We may be in, I'm not sure whether that should be in, but that's the one option. I think for the number, we might need another option here, which is to keep the five, but if you are going to, you're going to run into difficulties with the number. To keep the Chief Justice and the Deputy of the member, and then say that the Chief Justice can designate and confer on the Deputy Chief Justice chair.
That is already there, chair.
Yes, sir. Option re-term of office of commissioning.
But it's page 7. We have to stop after, you see there are two subsections too, but if the first original option is the same, then obviously.
Yeah,
yes,
obviously that one we'll have to obviously do only if you retain the first option.
That is correct. Unfortunately, when you're working with options, I don't think it's practical to start renumbering it, but the first year where you can use the first option.
Now then I think you've got that option then. So you need to look at that clause 1 member, 8-1, as which is not the option 2, but your first one at table, together with your sub 2.
Obvious solution if you had, and maybe that the woman in the can have two bucks.
Okay. Is this a solution to also give the deputy chief justice an alternative chief not available? And then instead of calling the chairperson, we say the chief justice or the deputy chief justice, and I'll have a general and specific case.
Then you should do a more general designation to what I can establish, you're not necessarily familiar enough, not just me, for 3 years, which I've said before. And so, you know, if you're not available on a particular day, you know, I don't think too much about it. But the fact that if you work with the other way, to say, if you are, if the chairperson is to get the issue there, then you would need another source of evidence if he's not available, which is able to do it. Mr. Karanga, you work with me. So we might need to amend even that two to give a second option there in case we decide to opt for the Chief Justice as the chair and allow him to either generally or specifically delegate his power to another member.
Before the discussion about terms of office of the Minnesota Committee, and at the top of page 7, we would see a new chief as an option, saying that any judge designated as a member of the committee shall serve as such a member for a renewable term of 2 years, but may not be designated as such a member for a continuous term of more than 4 years. That is the clear idea.
Even if a judge retires as a member of the committee, he would be retired.
I imagine that he's going to be able to sort those things out.
You think it would be a secretary, of course, that it might happen. I mean, it's not about active service. In fact, it might be in some way the committee at some point might consider it specifically for the judge to charge an active service, because they might have more time to come to tribunal specifically.
When we say judges in prison, the CDC judges check whether it would have seen a specific reference to judges in charge of the number of judges. That's why I said Mr. DeLanga must make it. His answer is quite correct in the sense that you're getting appointed in your actual picture of the faculty when it comes to your chief justice and the chief justice. And then when you refer to judges, then you're referring to the others. But what I've said, just to make it clear, is that when you say any judge designated, and I say in terms of one deal, depending on how you're going to deal with those options.
We've omitted the words about the object of the committee are to deal with, consider complaints against judges and the appropriate disposal of such complaints, and from a subsidiary to the party to receive, consider, and see the complaints and deal with the party.
We might come back to that one.
I've not made any changes at this stage, but there are some changes to 12. I don't know if you want to just maybe discuss 11. It should be discussed at the time being discussed at 12.
Look, I mean, we've had these discussions, you recall, when we had the other hearings, because most of the other hearings pertain to this particular clause, whether that we should be able to do work other than. And then you have the second category, then people are discharged from office. You have the whole criteria issue and application. Now, one of the interesting things that came about during the other hearings before is the call for there to be an exclusion. For judges who are serving on the bench to do work other than bench work. And I thought that one of the things that we had kind of congealed in terms of our opinion on the matter was actually being trying to agree that generally speaking, judges who are serving on the bench should not be doing work in the relation to the matter. They are, of course, other issues. I mean, certainly I would be opposed to a judge who is a serving judge doing an arbitration. That's completely wrong. The other issue was when they hold on to directorship. If a judge is a director of a company, they keep the renovation. My feeling is that that is equally wrong, given the propensity. I mean, if you're a director of, take an arbitrary example, of a car manufacturing company, a particular one, they see a competition in the industry, whether it's steel, whether it's other car manufacturing companies, whether it's leather, whether it's components, all of those things go, you know, very to the heart of the profitability of the country, of a company in which you have a tech person. Now, the issue is whether in fact that should be allowed, whether they should be disallowed and so on. Because the line appears to me that there are some instruments that we can have a look at to check out certain criteria. My feeling is that those prohibitions are really around services and so on. Now, whether a directorship is necessarily services, I imagine you could explain that mean that there is some kind of service. But often what happens is that you're a director and then you're just kind of, you're kind of an unactive director. I am not sure. I don't, for example, know what that is. And there are some judges who have more than one judge. I don't know how they deal with their coursework, the coursework, obviously, they do it with permission. But the question that they face right now is whether that should be allowed. Given that they, I can still understand that those who are not serving on the those who are actively on the bench, that is a standard that we can hear
in terms of corporate governance code, the commission report, a lot of private important directors to really apply their mind. And I think that means that it is consuming a lot of their time. Because what is it that is a director of a company and something like that is going to cut out? So I think that the principle is we should, that it should protect that institution, the bench. And they should not put themselves in something that will compromise or for the sake of compromising the bench. So certainly I think directorship is must be big now.
Now, in the event that the debate proceeds to such a degree that we are forced to compromise, then as a second option, I would argue very strongly that the state properly regulates. At the moment, the cabinet and the how do we regulate? One of the things I would like to say, in the event that the minister grants permission for a serving judge to sit with the director or some other administrator, that be made public. At the moment, you hear about it much later, and everyone is quite surprised, oh goodness, we didn't know that. And I don't understand why it isn't made public. Because it's a public matter. If a cabinet minister decides he wishes or she wishes to perform other employment, remunerated employment, he or she must obtain permission of the president. I'm not sure that the law and the regulations allow for it. So yes, too, we should put in place a regime that has regulated our legal. But the first option is the one put forward by the commission. It's just going on. And the reasons are obvious, one doesn't even have to articulate.
Thank you, Chair. I'm partly covered. I also think, you know, there's a possibility of a conflict of interest that has to be prevented at all costs. If you look at the FINMA report, what is expected from a director nowadays, not just sitting there in the interest of the way that has to be something. They are responsible for the shareholders as well.
Yeah, I think it would be useful seeing what the international treatment say, what the international statements because it seems to be a bit of an emotional issue for judges. I think the rest has all been said. Let's see what those treaties say, what happens in other countries. The other point I wanted to make was that if we do go for these exceptions in two, we need to be, it's tabling in the National Assembly for approval, and really that should be Parliament, no special relationship between the judges and the National Assembly. And then in any event, this is consistent on page 8, this may be amended approved by Parliament. Basically what I'm saying is if we go for the DC Parliament. Then I just wanted to raise the issue of judges discharge.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I echo the sentiment. What we do need to look at is a distinction between directors and consultants, I suppose, as well. As I understand, the Schlorfer matter related not to directorship, but a consultant. Would a consultant would probably be as undesirable as well. And I would not think that such a consultancy would be on such a list. So maybe first we need to consider, is it the same and I would like to also look at the international law, but clearly both would seem to be undesirable. First, it's the prohibition.
On so the list will be listed to what it says. The minister, at the after consultation with the chief justice, must table in the national assembly for approval a list of services which are closely connected, which may be performed by a judge in active service in respect of which he or she may receive. So we're talking about, from my perspective, and there may be gray areas there, you may agree and disagree one thing. But you see, I would be happy if somebody got, if somebody wrote an article, and it was published in an edited version, and then they received some kind of remuneration for it. That would be fine. But what I personally, and I'm speaking personally for myself, not necessarily for anyone else, what I don't find it difficult is that people go overseas to go and stay there for 3 months as a lecturer, get remunerated for it, and then come back. I think that's wrong. That's time away from the bench. I think that to me would certainly be a problem. But others may not feel that way, that may or may not be in the list that the minister gets to be issued. And we can have those kinds of debates, I guess, then. But the issue then would really turn on whether in fact the minister must table a list of services which are closely connected with the office of the judicial office. And I imagine that's the only factor that it can be. I'm not too comfortable with it because the one thing I would hate to find out that list is the adjudication, because I don't think clearly, that's a matter that we can debate once the list is before us. And the Parliament has to do it. No doubt it will have some previous committees. Those services that can be arranged for which they may receive it. And then we can have a discussion about the evaluation of the Parliament. That surely should be. Because I don't know how close we can get to
the judicial. I seem to remember seeing the list of some of the approvals that have been granted already. What did we get a list of some of the things that we could already start thinking about or not? Or do you think it's useful? I see. Did we get a list? No.
I don't know if there is a list kept formally, and maybe an informal list. And if so, then I can't give you a reason why maybe we couldn't find the issue in the issue. I don't know what the regime is supposed to be. All I know is that people apply for the information. They have tax to the other business anyway.
But that's
income tax
was going on forever. See, I think that was as a result of our complaint with the Shilpan matter, that is what the Judicial Service Commission said, that there should be a regulatory framework, and I think that's what we're working towards. So I agree with you that it seems to be very much in the air. I think that's what we're trying to address now with this section.
I think that we must be clear that we are opposing all kinds of things.
Yeah. Even if the children chant, even if the children are out of touch, the children chant, it's the issue of the social nature that transpires, even if it's of the commercial nature that transpires. You may have copyright infringement, you may have certain effects, but it's your touch. Mr. Lambert?
Yeah, I see we are moving in the same direction, which is a good thing. I just don't like the idea that things are kept. There's absolutely no reason. I'd like anyone, Chief Justice, Minister, anyone, to articulate for me valid reasons why the permit. Can't be valid. Anything is every reason why they should be. And you write, Chairperson, it's remuneration one and contribution. Either it comes from the other.
Judgment that I've reached, quite a sentence internationally, one of the most types of got that question.
I think now that we should have to be really clear. Like, if I had to turn this over, the protection of the institution. The issue whether like, they can change or they can change is one of the issues that they may need to put. That's the issue of the parents and that's the parents. And the protection from conflict of interest is not the issue from people who might get in and out of the country. That should be the problem.
I think in essence what we're doing here is there's a general transition and the new catalyst with farmers will be connected to and those will be the only kind of things that they can do for the generation from.
There are three distinct areas where all of these issues are addressed. Firstly, of course, is disposition, secondly, as Dr. Rara just pointed out to me as well, this is directly linked to the activity. The process and prayer, everything that you see earned here or accrued here must be reflected in the activity. And thirdly, of course, it will be the code of conduct. Some of the things and the issues that you've now raised, which one needs to see on Facebook, now I don't believe it doesn't belong in the middle or in the average, but it's about the state of the side of conduct, which is something that the translation of the world will now be conduct, nothing that we want to show up.
I think that's always useful to bear in mind, that there's a footprint that is that if you, obviously you then regulate what you can do outside of your office, you have the aspiration to really have to serve the people that you clearly, if you come to these violations, you have to think to your conduct. And that is the sense of charge. Clearly, there's a link to it. Over. The discharge from office, if Jeffrey wants to say something there, and then I have Mr. Lando.
Okay, yeah, look, I wasn't prepared to be here to hear it from my subject. There's probably more questions. You get how many years do you get your salary?
15.
After that, you get a pro rata amount.
After?
If you retire before 50, if you leave before 50, you get a pro rata. Has been consideration been given to an upline for if you say, look, you don't want to take the money, you should then be less restricted as far as taking the remuneration. Obviously, if you're getting the money, like if you their full salary effectively, really can't be any argument to say that you can just do what you like, you can take the employment you like. So I was wondering if has to be consideration given to, particularly if you've only been a judge for a couple of years, and then say, I'm prepared not to receive any commission. Has that been considered? Obviously there's still a factor of something you raised earlier, once the judge sort of always some kind of respected person, you're never entirely free. But maybe the closer linkage of this clause with a continuous payment, maybe something to look at.
Your last question, I'm not sure if you're going to answer.
what I'm basically raising is that whether should be provisions for a judge who's left service to say, look, I do not want to receive the pension or the portion of the pension. In that case, should they be more freer to take other employment without the ministerial
clearly,
asking, has that been considered?
Now, clearly, if they're not a judge in that case. Look, as I understand the regime, and this is the number you can correct me about, there's three options. The first is you do your 15 years, you retire, you get your salary for life, and before you reach 75, you are obliged to give 3 months, up to 3 months in a year, to work serving on the beach. Okay? So that's your first step. Then your second category is once you reach 75, you're not obliged anymore, but you still continue getting your salary. There's not too much of a difference between the first category. And there's the third option, which is kind of neither nor there in one sense, because there, if you serve 15 years, you still get the salary for that, but you give up your judgeship, the kind of people who. But all you're really doing there is you're giving up the income, so that you annual income that accrues to serving judges on the school, but you still get your salary. So one thing I'm not quite sure of, Mr. Black, is the thing that Jeff is now raising is those, that category of judge, the one who wants to give up the judge, if that person were to serve, let's say, 5 years,
to 15 years.
Do they still get a
fill out
of that
extent?
It's only 15 years.
But that's very clear. You must be a judge for at least 15 years, or in the case of the Constitution, it's a little bit less than that. But in any case, any legislation by a constitutional court judge or a judge on any completely irrelevant act, which is not contemplated within this act, so that is certainly a constitution that you can actually resolve in a manner other than contemplating the act, then you will not be adjusting. So if any legislation which is not contemplated within this act precludes the payment of any benefits to such persons in terms of this act, and to which the judge should or otherwise be entitled to discharge from active service.
What
is the
they would by implication be excluded from
this
court because they
won't be judges anymore? Even judges resigning from office until they leave this court will not be judges anymore. And so they would also be excluded.
Even if they
qualify
for their salary
before
they
serve,
they still
won't
be
excluded. Because this is the only place where they actually use the word judge wishing to resign from office.
Let me just get together. The phrase for the judge who has been discharged from active service. So somebody like William Carter, Judge Jardy, except that they are not.
They've resigned and they no longer judge. So in a sense, it's exactly what you're expecting. Many people will not have to apply.
But as I said, then even with those then that have served 15 years, that have been discharged, should they be given the option? Should they be given the option of saying, okay, we will give up our pension and everything. In return, we then decide what we want to do.
There is
a
reason
that
you
resign
that yes,
as I understand the session, given of the fact that
the restriction on taking other employment without for requiring the minister's consent for other employment to the factory radio station.
As opposed to merely as a penalty. There are consequences pertaining to the resignation that many judges wouldn't want to achieve, and the consequence is the annual income situation. Don't bring a clue to the whatever pension is. If you want that interest, then the judge is opposed to bringing to the bar increasing the salaries. What you couldn't do when you were on active service, you might be able to do now. Such as arbitration, which is a very lucrative field at the and it would be very sought after, and it's only because you've been on the beach for every time. There's not a prohibition, and many submissions that we've received, even from judges, seem to indicate that it's a prohibition. Clearly, it's not a prohibition. Whereby you apply, in terms of certain criteria that will now be listed, you will either get approved or not, and then you can either proceed.
In sub 3, I really would like to see slight amendment here. For the minister when she grants written consent, but that be tabled in public.
When I see where you're going, the one thing has to be a public thing. Should we say this? Why don't we have a regime where the minister publishes from time to time?
I was going to say, I think that's better. I mean, I think the issue is for it to be public. The problem with Parliament is that it would basically imply that Parliament can do something about it they don't agree. That's maybe not what you intended, but that's the implication. I think the table so that there can be comments. I would have thought it would be a thing of making it public and maybe the publication can say in the
Not sure. I don't quite agree with you. I think it's far more appropriate for it to be made public at the time that the content is discussed, rather than 6 to 12 months after the debate. And the tabling in Parliament is simply making it public. You don't table stuff in Parliament necessarily because you want Parliament to do something about it or to say something about it. It's not the issue. The problem we've always had with the debt is simply that not everyone has access. At some stage maybe we'll address that and come to the appropriate solution. But right now it seems to me that it makes sense. Are we saying then that there's going to be so many of these that we need to wait until the end of the year to publish again the debt for the consent?
Thank you.
What we need to do after we have created that regime, then we need that to pass the regime. But if it comes here and we don't agree, it won't keep quiet. We'll just continue.
Yeah, I'm 100% in favor of the with the active judges, but the retired judges, I'm still grappling. I'm still struggling with the whole issue. I do hear what my colleague Kulalani says about the issue. If it's tabled, then Parliament's going to be expected to do something. So we need to be careful how we phrase that whole issue. And I appreciate Mr. Lander's comments as well, the need. What will be disclosed in the financial register? Is that not where there will also be some information?
You can
immediately. Yeah, no, I understand. So.
Chair, you see, you're running away from the issue. If you're saying to me, not to really table the news in but rather appear in a gazette that is published sometime in the year. Are you saying then that when that gazette is published, Parliament then somehow can't say anything? If it takes hold of that gazette, reads it and says, oh, we don't like this. That's the argument being raised.
I mean, it's the two issues that Lander's raises. I mean, the timing. I mean, the debate comes out. I don't think that's linked to whether it's the debate or whether it's Parliament. The debate comes out every week. And that is a special debate. So I think the issue would be, and I don't have a problem with I don't feel particularly strong either way, but I don't have a problem with saying that you know, the minister is establishing the debate but I don't think that needs to be linked to whether it's the debate or Parliament. The other aspect is what Mr. Lander phrased, the public aspect. That people don't read the debate. People don't read the ACC either, because that's where it would be published. But the one in either of those is accessible to the public. And one would then expect the media to pick it up. I mean, that's where it would come from. One would expect so I just sort of, as far as those two points of difference that Mr. Lander was raising, I don't think those necessarily feature in terms of the Parliament versus the deck argument. But I think it's maybe, you know, painted as a
look, I think it's an important issue in principle. The mechanism, I think, is important enough. Because, you see, I was thinking, what happens with us? Members of Parliament, your party allows you to do certain work. What you would then need to do is obviously it has to come to communication to the register, because there's that part in the register that says, you know, this part you must get permission from. And shouldn't we look at a similar mechanism, because that part would be a public part. So if the minister grants permission, you've got it in writing, you would have the obligation to that the minister should then relay that to the register as well, the judges. And at any stage, the public thing is available.
It should be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the whole point of the register. So the public part will be available at any stage. And then over and above that, you could still have an obligation for publication as well, all of the applications. So that you have the immediacy issue at the register, if anybody wants to check at any stage, that should be available. And of course, because I do think what you're going to have is, either way, see the mechanism for me, one way or another, it is to be related to the truth of the matter is that position to say granted or has to be in compliance with the system. And those things are the criteria that we bring to the daily case now. And for the list of our active begins to follow. That's really in the active. And then if anybody has a problem, I don't think it's appropriate for Parliament to debate, not necessarily debate, but you put in a substantial motion if you want to. And I mean, the real issue is that we would now be able to allow the complaint. It's previously, you know,
that.
So that's maybe how we should see that. I think when we look at Mr. Delano, when we look at this thing here, I think what you're saying is that perhaps 1-2 years that the list of all applications granted must be published. Secondly, there needs to be a mechanism whereby once permission is granted, the register must be put in the Doesn't have to do the preliminary proceedings per se. So that's the issue. But then it comes to the code is a code of conduct. And it pertains specifically to the preliminary issues. Now, on the one hand, you could give nothing preventing from giving a role to the inspector. But then we mustn't also argue that they must then participate in the ASP on these issues. So we must be quite careful to delineate this and say what is more appropriate. Is it more appropriate for the inspector to then participate in the ASP? Or is it more appropriate for them to participate when we draft code of conduct, when we deal with criteria and lists?
Yeah, look, I don't have particularly strong feelings either way, and I don't think about the list of so we can able to deal with these chapters. So I think if the view is what's up to is a basis for restricting this to the DNA, that's fine. The problem though is that this is another is using NA in Parliament interchangeably and the need to be there. So if you look at four, he talks about, you know, he talks in the beginning about the NA, and before then he talks about the usage of Parliament to publish the code, so that that inconsistency, NA is NA, Parliament is Parliament. So it was very mainly that.
I agree with Mr. Jeffrey, but mine is a slightly different one. We say under part two that the minister must table the code in the National Assembly. Is it inferred in people personal clarity that tabling therefore demand approval by the National Assembly?
Tabling of the code?
Yes. Why don't we say it must be a good combination?
Anyway,
but this is a big issue. The issue is, of course, as it pertains to the state, as related to the state. So, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying that, you know, someone who's not a lawyer like me reading this will just understand it to mean that, well, it appears in our pigeonhole, so if we're interested, we can read it.
No.
And that's
no.
The part of the story.
Well, look at your option two, Mr. Minister must table the first
person
of the section in the
National Assembly for approval. Now, that's better.
Yeah.
But the other one says,
which other one?
Must table the first code under the section.
No, that's the difference between the two options.
Sorry.
Okay. And that's why it's a big difference. And something we must be aware of. I thought you were talking about the issue of approval.
No. Approval part, I agree with
you.
I've never seen the same thing.
Anybody else?
You said you read all the tables every Friday and so thank
you. And then I read the Gazette.
Then be the defense of the public. So that's basically what it is. Okay? What if Mr. Dunham
first question for myself and Mr. Lowe. That's pretty much the same which option I think the committee will opt for example, to keep the action after consultation. It's very unlikely that we will have a problem in that regard because we've already in existing scope. I think that will happen in practice if we don't with consulting the minister, but they will probably be either foreign or use that scope. On the other hand, if it's in consultation requirement, it then that might be a little problem. But depending on which option you opt for, I would start to be in the trying to buy some sort of a question.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Secretary.
It's hard to think of it as some way that Parliament itself we do think that it's very unlikely, looking at functions involved here, that working with these funds that have a public. In fact, from a practical point of view, it would be easier for the department to come up with a new vote at ICO State of Recognition. Even if the department didn't have to introduce the fact, that might help to
I don't know if we're making the issue of something that shouldn't be an issue. It always goes to say it's chief justice must be able. So it must be able. Chief justice is not following the law. Well, obviously that's a problem, and then one would have to use other methods. I mean, there are provisions in this law and other laws that seem to chief justice has to do. I don't know if one needs to put in, well, what happens if the chief justice doesn't abide by the law. This part, and particularly if it's an after consultation, then there's no deadlock. The Chief Justice then listens to what the minister has to say at the table, and then the Parliament to approve what the National Committee can do.
Minor slightly different issues. Chief Justice confers with the minister on the draw of the court. It changed the whole thing, which is effectively a new code. What then? No, if that's what it is, then fine. You know, as long as we understand that. I just don't want that sometime down the line for people in the judiciary jump up and say, ooh, hang on a second.
We were not consulted.
Well, I could think of a number of hypothetical situations. It's just a question, sir.
No, I know what you're saying. But nobody else makes the law but Parliament.
No, I accept that. I don't have a problem with
it. I've never seen anywhere where the Chief Justice makes the law. But I do envisage a problem that if you don't get proposed within 6 months, and we then use our legitimate authority and relationship to block them, that would be a problem. We don't have it yet. But okay, Mr. Galanga, then don't particularly feel the need to do that. We'll consider that when we want.
provide point information and the minister also provided point information and constitutional information and looking for that stuff for the information.
As the version which quite possibly, you know, arrived.
Justice has not really changed anything substantively with regard to it. In fact, all the other amendments, although there's quite a number of them, I'll have to leave it with all of those sections. I will be superficial.
So just my worry would be 13 is the last part of this part.
Mr. Brown has just explained, he hasn't done finally all of the draft of the same power discussion. In any case, this is the one area where there has to be substantively worked.
Can I ask a question in relation to this? And I don't get to show it. This is the biggest question. Members of Parliament have to register their interests. Members of the Executive have to, in addition to that, have to do their liabilities. Our liabilities, the intention to include liability, judges' liabilities. If that is the case, should it not more expressly say, we've got two laws, we've got the parliamentary ethics thing and the executive ethics. And I think the executive ethics is explicit liability. So just when they're looking at that, can they look at those two pieces?
Okay.
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 I want to just check with you. I'm not sure if you were there or the old man was there. I think the old man was there. What happened with those JSC submissions on those days? Was that it arrived much later than I also finished the old one? And you remember I told you to the class and then I
Yes, I think it was I who attended that meeting, yeah.
But I'm not sure if he has in his minutes actually said that he's been through that particular submission, because I'm just worried. Because as you know, the JSC consists of the Chief Justice and the And I've now written to them to say, look, we will consider their thing and other deliberations and so on. And when I met him, he said to me, oh, he's seen the letter that I've drafted. And, but he said he couldn't find on the PMG website that they'd actually deliberated on it.
If you could be added in at 5 o'clock. So that would be the minute of the...
Maybe Lolly can help.
About the 11th week?
No. It was last week, early last week, I would imagine.
Okay. I think it was listed in the club. Was it actually handed out?
It was handed out. Okay. It was handed out. But you see, what we then did was, because we were going through the clauses at that stage, what we did was, when we dealt with the clause and we started deliberating, I said, I made reference to the JSC.
I'll check whether that's specifically included.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Let's just check if you don't have a copy of the you can get one.
I'll check it out, whether it was included on the document.
Yeah. No, it will come later, as I said, yes. 10 months later than the other submission.
No, I mean on this particular, on that particular meeting, yes. No, certainly I'll... The
last thing I need is for justice.
No, we're following your comments, we're trying to put this in.
Into the
Yeah, let me see how we can deal with it.